All right, please turn your Bibles to chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. And we are going to be looking at verses 21 to 25 today. And you might be thinking, hey, what about verses 1 to 20? Because we finished last time in chapter 3 with Jesus talking about the priority of following him even above family. And the reason why I am, and I'm not skipping verses 1 to 20, but the reason we are not going to be looking at those verses today is because back in March, I already preached on this passage. So I'm going to go past the parable of the soils, and we are going to look at verses 21 to 25 and pick up there today and continue our journey through the Gospel of Mark. I will give a short recap about verses 1 to 20. And if you haven't heard the passage that I preached on verses 1 to 20, you can go back on our website, defc.net. And it was on March 15th that I preached that passage. And that was the final day before we had to close our church for a couple months due to COVID. So that was already proclaimed. That was already taught. Let's look at verses 21 to 25 of Mark chapter 4. And he, Jesus, was saying to them, to his disciples, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be received. Nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him." Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this short passage of Mark chapter 4 that we are going to be looking at today. As Jesus said here in this passage, may we listen carefully to your word. May we who have ears to hear listen with great attention, with great eagerness to the most important thing there is to hear, and that is the word of God. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do your work within each one of our hearts and help me to proclaim this message with clarity and power of the Holy Spirit and with transformation of all of our hearts so that we may understand and grasp and love your word as you speak to us through it. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Now, there is a major concern today that concerns me, and I know it concerns a number of pastors, and even I'm sure it concerns many of you, and it's a trend that has been, especially in our nation, has been around for many decades, and that is that many people who attend church each Sunday do not have an interest in actively, and that's the key word there, don't have an interest in actively hearing the word of God rightly, carefully, proactively, when it is taught, when it is preached, when it is read, such as we did earlier, and even when it is sung through music. Many people go to church for many other reasons, right? Other than, and not for the purpose of, and desire for being fed God's word and listening intently and carefully with a purpose to what God has to say to them from his word, the Bible. In fact, I was just looking at, on the website, a survey that was conducted by Ligonier Ministries. And the survey was called State of Theology. And one of the questions they asked people in order to get an understanding of what people understand in regards to doctrine and theology, one thing they posted was this, and then people gave their either agreement or disagreement, And one of the statements was, churches must provide entertaining worship services if they want to be effective. And with that same statement, almost half of the people taking the survey agreed or somewhat agreed that a church service must be entertaining in order for it to be effective. Now, this is a serious problem, for in especially our American culture, many churches have been watered down to being that of a social club, a place of entertainment, where gimmicks and entertainment and comedy and rock concerts happen rather than the gathering together as the called out assembly of Christ, where we worship God and hear from him and listen very carefully to what he has to say intently through the serious preaching and teaching of God's word. In fact, this is what the first church did. This is what they were all about, Acts 2:42. One of the things they did was that they devoted themselves, devoted, persistently, gave attention to the apostles' teaching. The condition of many churches, I was thinking about this, is like that of Israel back in the Old Testament. And the passage that came to my mind was Amos chapter 8, verse 11. And of course, God was punishing them because of their disobedience and sent them into exile. But Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for what? Hearing the words of the Lord." And because they snubbed and disregarded God's word, God, in his judgment, took away the prophets from them who were proclaiming the word because the people had no interest in deliberately hearing God's word. Their attention was elsewhere. There was a famine of the hearing of God's word. And so in much of our nation, sadly, the church is in a deadly famine. And I pray and hope that that never occurs in our church here at DEFC. There's a famine where the word is not only absent and rightly taught and preached, but a famine in the fact that people do not desire to come to church to rightly and carefully listen to God's word so that they may draw closer to God and grow in their transformation in him. For some people, it's too much for them. It requires too much word. I've heard people say, "Don't give me all that doctrine. Don't give me all of that expository preaching. Just give me something to what? Make me feel good, to lift up my spirits," or something, as we see in the Ligonier survey, something entertaining so that I can just get home and go on with my life. But even in some churches where the word is rightfully and faithfully taught, not everyone understands how to listen well. This is why Jesus in chapter 4 continually says, "Listen, take care how you listen. You who have ears, listen with those ears." In fact, we just sang, "Speak, O Lord." Great song. But you could flip that and have it say, "Hear, O people." A lot of people want to just come to hear a nice homily, right? That soothes their affections rather than a sermon that arouses their worship to God, draws them into his most glorious presence to greater heights and guides them into holier paths of living. And so have you ever today considered just how important it is when you come here, or if you are present in any teaching, preaching, reading, and singing of God's word, how critical it is how you listen to God's word? How you listen, not just allowing the sound waves to pass your ears, but how you actually listen, how you engage in the listening of God's word. It's an extremely important matter to the point where Jesus, at the outset of his ministry in Mark 4, talks about it, commands it that his people listen, being careful, attentive hearers of his word. Now, as I said, we're passing over the parable of the soils because I already preached on that. But the soils, if you recall, the soil, there are four of them, and the sower is distributing the seed upon these four different soils, and the seed is the Word of God. And this parable that Jesus taught is so critical to all of his other teachings. But the parable demonstrates that not every single person who hears the Word of God is actually going to receive it, believe it, and produce fruit in their life. Why? Because they are not saved. Their heart is not, hasn't been plowed in order to receive it rightly. And so the condition of their heart, as Jesus said, is either hard, either rocky, either thorny, or either it's a cultivated soil whereby the work can do its natural work, such as Isaiah 55 says, and produce a harvest of fruit. The person who is saved, as 1 Corinthians 2 says, the spiritual man loves the Word of God. The natural man, the unsaved person, hates and despises and wants nothing to do with the Word of God. And so you could, or any one of us or people out there who are, you are proclaiming the word to, could be like that first soil where when the seed falls on it, Satan snatches it away and there is no fruit that is produced. The people who hear the word are bored by it. They don't want anything to do with it. They say, get that Word of God away from me. I want to do other things. And they have no interest of the word in their life. Someone could be like the second soil, which is rocky ground. And when hearing the word, they receive it with joy and excitement. But when hardships and afflictions and persecutions come on because of the word of God, because of the gospel, because of associating with Christ, the person falls away from the word of God and God himself. They want nothing to do with him. The third soil is when someone hears the word of God and their heart is thorny, and the cares of this world, the riches of this world, the worries of this world, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life come in and choke the word of God being effective in that person's life. And they fall away. They want nothing to do with God. They're more concerned about the world. And then there's the fourth soil, which is cultivated ground, a heart that is prepared by the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And this is the heart upon which the seed falls, and there is a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold, and that person bears fruit and demonstrates that they are in the Lord Jesus Christ and thus are saved in him. And so Jesus, after teaching this parable in chapter 4, the parable of the soils, continues with his disciples, with his apostles, those he is teaching about the parables. He continues to address the serious nature of carefully and intentionally hearing the word of God properly and earnestly with a sober mind. Because, as he says here, God will judge us based on the amount and how we listen to his word and how it is applied and appropriated in our life as believers. And the more you take in the word of God in your life, the more truth will be given to you, whereby you will grow in Christ. You will be effective in your daily walk with him and in your daily evangelism. This is so serious that Jesus repeatedly says, just in one chapter, listen to this. He who has ears, let him hear. He says that two times in one chapter. Meaning, like I said, don't just listen to the sound waves brushing past your ears. Don't just listen to what the preacher is saying, but hear with your heart, hear with your mind, hear intentionally, absorbing the word of God into your very being with a purpose of understanding it and applying it. Jesus says in verse 24, take care what you listen to. Take care what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. In other words, take special note. Give deep thought. Reflect on what God's word says. Regard it, yes, as a life and death thing. Think about it. If you were to go skydiving for the first time and you were to jump out of that plane and you reach the 15,000 foot altitude and you didn't have a clue how to jump out of that plane, how to pull the string in order for the parachute to open, if you didn't know how to land properly on the ground when you got there, you would make sure that you would carefully heed and listen to your instructor's instructions, or else your life is in jeopardy. How much more must we live to listen to the words of life, the living and active word that pierces our soul and our heart and does the work of God in people? This must be our conviction every single time you open up the Bible. Every single time you hear someone teach or preach God's word, every time someone comes up here and reads the word, we must listen and adhere to that word. It's how you listen. And we must not be complacent, apathetic, indifferent, or what? Slothful, lazy when it comes to the listening of God's word. We must be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. They didn't just search out the scripture to make sure that the apostle Paul was teaching the right thing, but they listened with what? Great eagerness. As the King James Version says, they listened with all readiness of mind. I love that. Their minds were ready to listen to the preached word of God. They were alert. And so, did you come to church today as if your life depended on it? Have you ever thought about it that way? That the word of God gives you life and changes your life. Are you hearing God's word today as if Jesus is right in front of you, talking to you through his word? Because he is. Not me, I'm not Jesus, but the word of God is before you. And the Holy Spirit is within you, convicting you, illuminating your hearts, and teaching you the riches of God's word. Have you considered today just how you should listen to God's word? And so from this passage, we are going to learn two ways that Jesus gives us about how to rightfully, carefully, intentionally hear the word of God. Two ways. And so first, how must we listen? We must listen, number one, proactively. You must listen to the word of God proactively, verses 21 to 23. Now, I'm going to start a little backwards here. Let's look at verse 23 first before 21 and 22. Jesus said, after saying those two things, in verse 23, it says again, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Right? That just seems kind of strange. Of course we have ears, but what are we doing with them? When Jesus says that, he is saying to you in an exclamatory way, listen up. Listen up. What I'm about to preach to you is extremely important. Listen to the word that Jesus is saying. And so this axiomatic phrase, which was a common saying during Jesus' time, had been used more than once by him, means more than just a, like I said, a general hearing. Right? Remember in the book of James, he said to them, be careful how you listen. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Make sure that you are listening carefully. Implies a thoughtful, a precise listening, not only with the ears, but also with the mind and with the heart. That is how we approach the word of God. It's a listening that is critical to one's life, a listening that absorbs into your very being what is being taught, like that of a sponge. As Jesus teaches here his disciples the meaning of the parable of the soils, he wants them to get it, right? Because it's not being understood by the masses, but he wants his disciples to understand, because eventually they were to be the ones to distribute the word of God to the people of Israel and beyond. And so Jesus is saying here in verses 21 and 22 in regards to a lamp, that those who receive divine revelation are those who also who should be passing on divine revelation. The word of God, which is what Jesus is teaching here, as Jesus says, is what? Not to be hidden. It's to be not disclosed. It's to be disclosed. It's not to be secret or never manifested. It's to be shining like what a lamp does, brightly, to give light to all in a dark place. The word of God is to be an illuminating influence wherever it goes, like that of a lamp. Back then, during Jesus' time, they didn't have lamps like we had where you just flip a switch and it turns on. They had little clay oil lamps that had a wick in it, and they lit it, and then they placed it on a high, conspicuous shelf wherever they were, primarily their home, so that the light would shine, so that it would emit the greatest light possible, so that people would not fall and trip all over the place. And so even though the parables that Jesus started to teach were taught in secret to the disciples and not given their meaning to all those who closed their ears to the truth, we see that. Look at verses 11 and 12 in chapter 4. Jesus was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables. Why? So that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." Their ears were shut off to the divine revelation of Jesus, so Jesus taught his parables, rather, to his disciples in secret, to the ones who would be proclaiming the truth of Christ's teachings from the housetops all over the place, right? This is what we see happening eventually in their lives. We see already in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus sent out his disciples to proclaim repentance and the kingdom of God. Then we also see in the book of Acts, all they're doing is shining the light of Christ. Even John said in 1 John chapter 1 that what we have heard, what we have seen, that of what we have touched, we have proclaimed to you. And so Jesus never meant what he taught to be hidden, like that of a light which was hidden under a basket. The light spoken of here in our passage could speak of a number of things, right? Light is defined or used as a metaphor in a number of ways in the Bible. It could be used of God, who in him is no darkness. He is light. It could be talked about as the word of God. Psalm 119, 105. The word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Or the light could also be speaking of Jesus Christ, who is a light to the world, as the Gospel of John says. But some clues are given to us in verse 21 about what this light is, this lamp. And the clues are really, I would say, you can understand it a little more in the Greek language. So let me explain. When it says in verse 21, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? In the Greek, that is literally saying the light has come. The light, definite article, the light has not just has been brought, but it has come. And so who is this light? Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ is, as John 1 says, he is the Word of God, and because Jesus is God, this light about which Jesus is speaking can refer primarily to the Word of God, because in context, in chapter 4, this has to do with the seed being sown. But because Jesus is God, because Jesus is the Word of God, light can be summed up as Jesus Christ, the Word of God, as God. And the message of Christ should not be hidden. As he says, put under a basket, put under a bed. I mean, that's foolish, right? If you turned on a flashlight to go through a dark place, you would not put it under a blanket, would you? No. Jesus is saying, let this light of the Word of God shine. This is why God has the Word to be what? This is his method. The Word of God is to be proclaimed, preached, taught, and spread. There is this erroneous idea, especially in our nation, in our kind of post-Christian, anti-God, anti-Christianity nation, that the Bible and the gospel and the words of our faith should be enclosed and not shared with anyone. It should be enclosed in the four walls of our building and should not be proclaimed in the streets, in the halls of government, in schools, in the marketplace. People say that you must keep your religion to yourself. Don't bring it to me. Keep it to yourself. It's a subjective thing. Your truth is your truth. It's not supposed to be public. It's not supposed to be objective. There is no such thing, they say, as objective truth. But unfortunately for those people, unfortunately that those people who advocate such ludicrous ideas, the thing is, the intrinsic nature of God's word is to be shone brightly. That's what Jesus is saying. To dispel and expose the darkness and illuminate the truth. The word of God is for all. And so Jesus is making it abundantly clear that the truth of his word and the gospel of the kingdom is not to remain a secret. It's not to remain a mystery. Paul talked about this all the time. The mysterion, the mystery of Christ, which at one time was hidden, is now being manifested. Even though during the ministry, much of what Jesus taught was not received, was not fully understood or fully given, it would be eventually widespread. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 27, "What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops." And that's what the disciples did. This is what you and I should be doing. We should not be taking what we are learning here from the Word of God and hiding it under a bushel. We must be proclaiming it widely as what a light does. And so we must be proactive. We must be submissive and obedient to God's Word. We must heed its call, and we must understand that the Word of God calls for action on your part and my part. The word of God being proclaimed is not just for the clergy, not just for the preacher, not just for the pastor, but all of us. We have been entrusted with God's word, and we must be good stewards of that word and shine it brightly. And so it is incumbent upon you, Christian, to take what you have received and teach, preach, proclaim God's word, and not only keep it to yourself. Yes, it's a personal thing too. It works in your life, but you are not to keep it only to yourself. And so the more you hear the word of God, the more you understand it, the more you appropriate it in your life, the more confident you will be in proclaiming and teaching it to others. Jesus continues with the same metaphor in Matthew chapter 5 about us, you and me, being the light of the world. Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 14 to 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Of course, this is talking about our works in Christ, the way and manner in which we walk, but that most definitely would include our proclamation of the gospel and his word. Don't forget, you are also a light in the world. Jesus was eventually resurrected and ascended out of here. And he sent the Spirit within us so that we might walk in the ways of Christ and proclaim him and give glory to him wherever we go. A sweet aroma as we walk the roads on this earth. The darker our world gets, and it's getting darker, is it not? The brighter the light should shine. If it was pitch black in here and we turned on these lights, it would be brighter in here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's a lot of cowardice out there these days with Christians. And I would exhort you not to be afraid of telling people the word of the gospel, the teachings of Christ. It is what people need more than anything these days, more than anything. Because people are lost in their sin, in lies. They're flooded with deceit and fear and hopelessness and evil. And you are the light, and you have the light of the word of God. Do not hide it. It is the light that the Lord has, that he has granted to you, that it can expose the darkness. Think of what Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16. He says, we Christians appear as lights in the world in a crooked and perverse generation. And then he says this, we hold fast the word of life. Amen. So we must stop being cowards. We must stop being hesitant. We must stop taking the word that we are being receiving, and we must begin shining it brightly and not hiding it under a basket. We must run into enemy territory with the sword of the Spirit and pierce the lost souls of men and women with the truth of God. So number one, you must listen to the word proactively, that you are listening it for yourselves, but then you also take what you have learned and shed the light of God's word all over the place. Number two, you must listen to the word of God carefully. You must listen to the word of God carefully. Verses 24 to 25. Next, after Jesus commands, and these are commands, by the way, after he commands them to hear proactively, he continues to tell them to listen carefully. Look at verse 24. Jesus was saying to them, take care what you listen to. Take care. Not only just does Jesus, as the word of God, have his part in disseminating the word, but so do his listeners. In order for them to be effective in their ministry, they have to listen with utmost care to everything that Jesus is teaching. They have to carefully absorb it. Verse 24, right? When he says take care, that means to process information by giving thought and directing one's attention to something. The ESV translates it as pay attention. The NIV as consider carefully. And the King James Version says, take heed. Hebrews 2, verse 1 gives us another understanding of what Jesus is saying here. Hebrews 2, 1, the author says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. Did you catch that? You must pay very close attention to what you have heard, so that you don't drift away from Christ's teachings. And so, sadly, in our culture, many people have lost the ability to listen well. Why? Because we are more of a visually oriented culture. We have become people who are more attracted to TV, movies, social media, and YouTube. And while there's nothing wrong with visually learning, I'm a visual learner many times, it is in the vigilant listening that we process God's word, right? He gave us teachers, preachers, evangelists, apostles. And what do all of them have in common? They use their mouths to proclaim God's word. We must never think that God did not know what he was doing when he providentially decreed that it was through his written and spoken revelation that his message would get out. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10. It's the preacher who goes, in Romans 10, 14, so that people might hear the word of God. So you and I must always be training ourselves to be good listeners of God's truth. Yes, how true is it? And I think the tables are turned a little bit here. I want you to get your understanding with this a little bit. It is true that the preacher who is standing here in the pulpit must take much caution, much care, and serious preparation in studying and presenting the word of God, right? Timothy, Paul tells him to be good stewards, rightly dividing God's word so that you're not ashamed. But how often do you, as the listener who comes here every Sunday, consider and prepare and take the hearing of the God with utmost seriousness? I want to read a quote from Charles Spurgeon, someone who I've quoted a number of times, the Prince of Preachers. Listen to this. He said, "We are told men ought not to preach without preparation," and that is true. I can't just get up here and just wing it. "Granted, but we add this, men ought not to hear without preparation. Which do you think needs the most preparation, the sower, the one who is preaching, or the ground?" He goes on, "I would have the sower come with clean hands, but I would have the ground well plowed, well turned over, and the clods broken before the seed comes in. It seems to me that there's more preparation needed by the ground than by the sower, more by the hearer than by the preacher." How many of you thought about when you come to hear the word of God that you prepare yourself with utmost seriousness before you hear God's word? And so I'm going to leave you with this because we only have about 5 minutes. And then there's Sunday school where we're going to hear the word of God taught even more. What are some practical things that you can do? And this is not in our passage. And I'll continue with this passage and the following passages next week. But what are some practical things? And I was thinking about this for all of you. And for me, it goes for me just as much as it does for you. What are some practical things you can do to make sure that you are listening to the word of God well, carefully, proactively? Not just here on Sundays, but anytime you're in the presence of God's word. And so that you can get the maximum amount of truth out of it each week. Well, number one, right? Church follows is on a Sunday, the Lord's Day. But what are we doing Saturday night? Are we staying up late? Are we watching movies? Now, I don't want to make this legalistic. This is not the Lord's command. This is like what Paul said. This is what I thought of. I'm not Paul, and I'm not giving new revelation here. But think about this. Get good sleep the night before so that when you come here, your mind is alert and active and ready to hear God's word taught. Go to bed early. I would suggest that you don't watch movies so that your mind is ready and will be focused on the next day as you soak up the word of God. Know that going to church on Sunday every week is one of the most important things you will do, if not the most important thing throughout the week, but it's extremely important. Number two, and this goes with number one, prepare your mind and your body to engage in the listening of God's word. Sleep well, eat well, don't come here on an empty stomach, maybe have some coffee so that you're more alert if you're not a morning person, but make sure that not only is your mind ready, but also your body, so that you can hear the word of God actively. In other parts of the world, people have to wake up at the wee hours of the morning just to walk 2-3 hours to get to the closest church. And when they get there, they are there all day listening to God's word, fellowshipping and worshiping. And so they have to prepare not only their mind but their body to get to that local church. Think about that in our own lives as well. Number three, what can you do? This is very important. How many of us do this? Pray. Also pray the night before. Pray in the morning. And pray even after for yourself so that you may understand the word of God. Pray. Spend time and pray. Pray for the church. Pray for the preacher. Pray for everything. Don't just come here and just sit here. Be an active participant, and you can do that by praying. Number four, this is an important one. Check your attitude. Check your attitude. Are you really here to hear? H-E-A-R. To listen, to learn, to grow. If you're not, then like the multitude that was following Jesus, you aren't really here to really understand God's word and apply it to your life. You just want the spectacular. You just want the entertainment. You just want a feel-good, lifter-up type of speech and not the meat of God's word. And so don't be like the many in John chapter 6 who just wanted the physical food but not the spiritual food of Christ. And what did they do? They walked away. Number 5, listen with purpose. Listen with purpose. Be a student of God's word. Don't just be a casual observer, but be an active participant in the teaching of God's word. How can you do that? Well, if you're a note taker, take notes. If you forget easily, jot it down so that you can return to it at another time. Write the sermon title. Write the passage. Take notes. Write the subpoints. Try to figure out what is being taught and how it relates to the passage. Also, listen with questions. Listen with questions. What is this sermon about? What's the main overarching theme? What's the thesis? What are the primary points of the outline? And what are the doctrines in this passage? And what am I to personally learn from this passage? And how do I apply it in my life? So be an investigator when you come and hear the word of God taught. You could also ask, what more could be understood from the passage? The preacher can't always expound on every single jot and tittle, right? We can't turn over every single rock. There just isn't enough time. So what else can be learned from this passage? Maybe what didn't the preacher preach, or what did he preach wrong? And be like a Berean and make sure that what is being preached matches with the word of God. And finally, number 6, and this is also extremely important, and this is what a lot of us tend to do, is don't leave the sermon at the church. Don't leave the teaching of the Bible at the church. Make sure that it goes with you when you exit the doors. Meaning, when you leave, think about the word of God. Think about it throughout the day, throughout the week. Let it marinate within you. One way to do that is talk about it with others. One thing that we do after the church service is we talk about the weather or other mundane things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but how many of us are actually engaged in the word of God as we talk to one another? Teach it to others. If you really want to understand the word of God well, teach it to others. Your children, talk about it at the dining table tonight, throughout the week, during your devotions, and read it throughout the week. Go over your notes and even commit your mind to memorizing that particular passage. And so these are just 6 practical things that you can start engaging in order to, number 1, be a more proactive listener in the hearing of the word of God. As Jesus said, if you have ears, make sure you're listening. And then secondly, how to carefully listen to the word of God. We will pick up with this next week. Jesus continues with this, and we still have more to talk about and cover with the rest of verses 24 and 25. And so, make sure today that you, and from here on out, be active listeners in the Word of God. And make sure, too, to be active evangelists. Get the Word of God out there. Proclaim it, shine it, teach it, talk about it. The Word of God, the gospel, everything about Christ must be the center of your life. Please pray with me.